And I will tonight look at it. In the book of Acts chapter 15, you'll find in when it starts that there's some problems. The Bible talked about some Pharisees that had become believers. They got born into the family of God. And they, Pharisees, you remember, dotted the I's, crossed the T's on the law. And other people were getting saved under Barnabas and Saul, or Saul and Barnabas, or Paul and Barnabas. Saul, who later became Paul. And those Pharisees hit head on with Paul and Barnabas and said, "These have got to be circumcised. They've got to have that. We've got to do that. And you've got to teach them and command them to keep the law." And of course, Paul, he was a Hebrew. He was a Jew, full-blooded Jew, Hebrew of the Hebrews. He also was a Pharisee that got saved. And so Paul says it's not necessary. And he got his orders from the Lord. And we'll find that it caused a great dissension. And he said no small dissension in verse 2 and a disputation. They were fighting. And they suggested that these two go to Jerusalem, to the council, to where the disciples and the apostles were. In other words, you got to go get your orders. And I think they stood on the side saying, when they get down there, those disciples or apostles are going to straighten Paul out. And they, I believe, stood back in the shadows of thinking that that's what's going to happen. But when they got down there, we find that Peter stood up among them and began to preach, and preached a little while, and then Paul and Barnabas got the floor. And after they got through, James got the floor. And so we're going to pick up tonight in verse 13. When you will, stand tonight and we'll look at chapter 15 of the book of Acts and verse number 13. And he said, "And after they had held their peace," he's talking about Paul and Barnabas, "he said that James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." And then he throws in somebody here, Simeon, he saith, "hath declared how God's at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is seen," or it is written, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof and I will set it up." And we probably won't get into that tonight, but I want to use this message and look at some things that I want you to know and see. Verse 17 said, "that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now you can be seated and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before your presence. We thank you for the word of God and how real it is. We thank you, Lord, that it spoke to our hearts many, many times and still does today. Thank you, Lord, that we get our direction. We get our commands. We get our orders from the Word of God. And we can count on the Word of God. Lord, it's not something that we have to cipher out, but God, it speaks. And when it speaks with truth and authority. And I pray tonight, God, that your name might be exalted and help us to understand the Word of God. And in this chapter, from the transition of grace from the law, how that God tonight we can understand and get it. And Lord, we realize that this is a subject tonight that multitudes of believers and churches tonight don't understand nor comprehend it. Want to explain it one way and another. But God tonight, help us to see the facts and the truths, and may we rightly divide the Word of God and rightly discern it tonight. Give us a spirit of discernment, God, that we might know what is right and what's wrong. God, guide the word of God into our heart that we can accept it and follow after the word. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want you tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Holding that little thought tonight about Simeon. James is speaking here at the council, and he's bringing up this after Peter. Now, he's went from verse number 7 down to verse number 11, preaching how that he had saw the sheet and the knit in the four corners and talked about how that God had sent him. He didn't say it here, but he talked about going to the house of Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts. But now when he sits down, Paul and Barnabas gets up and tells them about the miracles and the wonders. Before they got to here, they went from one place to another, and then from Antioch they come and went to Jerusalem, and many people were being saved, and people were distraught, upset even, because people were being saved. Not because they were birthed into the family of God, but because they would not be circumcised, nor would they be commanded to keep the commandments. Now, beloved, many people tonight believe that keeping the commandments and circumcision is an order of salvation for the Old Testament saints. And I preached on this and hammered on it a lot. But it's not. Circumcision has never saved a soul. Keeping the law has never saved a soul, simply because nobody has ever been able to keep the law. If keeping the law would save a soul, somebody down the road, surely would have been able to do it, but they weren't. Nobody that I've ever met and nobody I've ever read after the Old Testament, New Testament either, has ever been saved by keeping the law. It's a work of the flesh, and I'll give you some reasons why that they did it in just a minute. But I want you to turn, please, to chapter number 2 of the book of Luke, and I want to look at this. I hope tonight that you see one person in the midst of all of this, and that's a person called Christ. We're going to talk about Simeon for a little bit. But I'm mentioning Simeon so that you'll see the thought and the trueness tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to preach on something and give you something here. I mentioned this part in Sunday school this morning. I ran a little rabbit and got on to this. But I want to look at chapter number 2 of the book of Luke. And we're going to go down to verse number 21. I did mention this morning. You already know this, but I'll remind you. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. They lived in Nazareth right before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Micah chapter 5 verse 2 said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. That means he would have to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And it's no strange coincidence that in the first part of chapter number 2, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all should be taxed. And he went on to tell you that they had to be taxed in their own city in verse number 3. Now, Joseph and Mary were from Bethlehem. That was where they were from. The Bible said, and it's not just a strange coincidence, nothing is a coincidence. God, in all his mightiness and his wisdom, has things to fit at the right time and the right place. There's no coincidence in the word of the living God. Brother, I want you to know it's true every time he speaks. But now listen. So Caesar Augustus made the decree that the world should be taxed, and Mary was heavy laden. I'll tell you, the Bible said in verse 6, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So they make a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And when they get to Bethlehem, there's no room in the inn, and she has this child there, and lays him in a manger, wraps him in swaddling clothes, and he's birthed in Bethlehem. Fulfill the scripture. God's not sitting back hoping and biting his fingernails. with his teeth. God already had it planned and perfected, and amen, it went right with clockwork. Christ was not born 2 seconds early, nor 2 seconds late. Matter of fact, not even 1 second early, nor 1 second late. He was right on time, at the right place. Then we find that we get down in verse 21. That's where I want to read. Look at what he says. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, he specifies who's going to be circumcised. And I want to point this out to you tonight. I want you to see this. Christ is the one that has brought the gap and closed the gap from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's the one that has fulfilled the Old Testament and amen, opened up the new. He has closed and brought the old covenant to the new covenant. And thank God for it. And he said, and when 8 days were accomplished, that's when they normally would circumcise a male child. He said, for the circumcising the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And that's true. Mary was told by the angel she'd call his name Jesus. Amen. And Joseph and Jesus knew what his name would be. Amen. And when the days of her purification, notice that tonight, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Notice a little phrase, to present him to the Lord. Are you clear with me tonight? Stay with me now. The Word of God's got to do the speaking. You'll get confused if you don't let the Word of God speak. Get all your little ideas out of your little head. Kick it out the door, throw it behind, get it out of here. We want to maybe de-learn ourselves that we might learn ourselves some things from the Word of God through the Spirit. Amen. Don't try to overthink. Don't try to think of past and of faster than God does. He's got it out in order here. They were coming down to get Jesus circumcised on the 8th day. And there was 3 things that they had to do when they got there. 1, circumcise Christ. 2, they had to have a purification for Mary. When a woman had a baby, it was customary in the law that she be purified. Now, purification is something that's taught in the Old Testament, and it scares some Baptists to death. Oh, purification, what's that? The New Testament term is not purification, it's called sanctification. They purified themselves or had themselves purified. The reason that sanctification and purification are 2 different things, they're basically the same, but I'm talking about one from the old and the new, is because there was no way to be sanctified like we are today because Christ had not died on the cross of Calvary yet. The sacrifice had not been made. So they had to go under a form of the flesh, not for works. A woman wasn't saved by purification on the outward form of what she did. That just got her back to where she's supposed to be. Now, the second thing, not only were they to purify her, but the 3rd thing they're supposed to do was to offer a sacrifice. In verse number 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves are 2 young pigeons. Now you study the 1st chapter of the book of Leviticus, and we've done that here, and I've gone over this, but I'm repeating myself because it probably fell out of some of your brain since I've been on it before. I have to remind myself all the time too. Amen, isn't that amazing? Our little old brain can't grab it and keep it. We let it slip. That's why the Lord said, take heed lest it slip. Amen. Well, in the 1st chapter of the book of Leviticus, if people were well able to offer a sacrifice, they offered the bullock, the cow, the oxen, or whatever they offered in that line. But if they could not afford the oxen or the bullock, the second thing they could do was take of the flock of the sheep or the goats. And that was for those who could afford that. But for the poor, they might not be able to offer a cow or a bullock, and they might not be able to offer a lamb, but you can catch turtle doves and young pigeons, and it won't cost you nothing. And Jesus was going to have the offering tonight of the poor. He came in the world owning nothing, but owning it all. Am I right? Stay with me now. I'm taking my time. I want you to get this. It's good for you as in Sunday school. You got part of this morning. And it's a double whammy on you. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said. Now the word of purification. Let's look at that. And we'll look at these just a little closer. The Levite, for instance, in the Old Testament. The Levite, God would take the Levite. Now remember, the Levites were of the priestly line. They were the ones that offered the sacrifice. They couldn't offer it from the tribe of Judah. They couldn't offer it from the tribe of Benjamin. They couldn't offer it from the tribe of any of the other. It had to come from the tribe of Levite. The Levite had to do it. Amen. God would not allow. God picked them and chose them to do that. And I'm not going to give you the scriptures, Leviticus, but you go and study it. You'll find, go when you get home tonight, look at the purification of the priest. They would take these priests, these Levites, and they had to be purified before they could do any work for God. Amen. That's why it's important to be right and live right when you do anything for God. God don't want trash doing His work. That's why I preach separation. That's why I preach dedication. That's why I preach tonight you ought to be clean. Don't be cussing out of one mouth and preaching out of the other. God's not happy with that. That's why we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So those Levites would step up before them, and guess what they would do? The Bible said they would pour purifying water on them. The oil of purifying. I mean, not the water. The water of purifying. They'd pour water of purification upon them. Then that priest had to shave his body. God said, I don't want no hair. I want you to be clean. I want your flesh to be clean. You understanding that? Didn't tell him to shave his face. Said shave his body. Read that when you get home. I know some of you are looking at me a little strange, but that's what is there. What is it? God wanted them to step in, and then not only that, they had to wash their clothes. They washed their clothes, and they stepped, and then they had to have the anointing oil poured on them. And then they went to work for God. Ain't you glad you don't have to do all that? Now, none of that saved them. None of that saved them. None of that washed away their sin. What did it do? It purified them to be a living creature for God that's clean so that they could take clean hands and a clean heart before God. They had to offer sacrifice too, which covered their sin. You with me? Now that sounds a little strange, don't it, that God would do that. Okay. Let's go to the ladies, you can read that tonight. I'm not going to get into that. We're in a mixed congregation. But they had things they had to do to be purified. And the women had to purify themselves to do that. And it was a type of what God wanted. Now listen to this. In the Old Testament, the Jew exercised and went under the business of circumcision. And he is mutilated the flesh in a sense to, he obeyed God in circumcision. Now that didn't save him. That didn't keep him saved. What did that do? It showed that he was of the lineage of a Jew, and he was following the ritual and the rite to say, I am of God's people. Now, in the Old Testament, we had circumcision. In the New Testament, equivalent to that is called baptism. You with me? It's not necessary for the circumcision as God spoke it in the Old Testament, but we have the baptism. And I want to show you that tonight. If you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Back it up. To the book of Matthew. Now these things may not interest you, but they sure interest me. The more I understand about the Old Testament economy and what God expects in the New Testament, brother, I'll tell you, it makes me understand more. And I know how to handle it a little bit better. Look at chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. We found where Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. He was following the ritual of the law. Now Jesus didn't need to be saved. He was perfect. Amen. Somebody said, I believe circumcision teaches salvation. Well, what did the women do? Didn't circumcise the women. Come on now. Stay with me. But the men were circumcised. And as these days go on, I'm going to explain that to you a little bit more. I'm telling you, I'm preaching things tonight that most preachers will never touch. They're either scared to or don't know. I think it's the first. And I think it adds with the second. I think they're scared to and don't know. But in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, it says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be what? Baptized of him. Now where's the baptism in the Old Testament? Amen. Somebody tell me somebody got baptized in the Old Testament. Ain't there, is it? Jesus got circumcised and baptized, and between those two, he brought the Old Testament together with the New Testament. And he identified with his people. Now, baptism don't save. Baptism is never saved. Baptism will never save you. Why do you be baptized then? To present yourself into the work of God as the manner of circumcision did for the work of the Lord and to prove who you were, baptism does the same in the New Testament and identifies you with the people of God. Have I confused you? I hope I've said this plain enough to understand it. Now, the Bible said in verse 14, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Isn't it strange that John the Baptist all of a sudden come out of the wilderness? I mean, it's been quiet for 300 years. Amen. Been quiet for all this time. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody preaching baptism and the like. And we look at that. I tell you, it's a blessing, isn't it, to see what's happened. I said 400 years. It's 400 years of silence. And all of a sudden, here comes a spiritual bulldozer. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And he's down there splashing water in the Jordan River. You're not preaching circumcision. He's preaching baptism. And I don't imagine John knowed all about what's going on. Amen. But he knew what to do. Now, we go a little bit further. I want us to turn over into the book of John. In the book of John, I want you to look in chapter 1 of the book of John, and then we're going to go back to Luke 2. I ain't got on Simeon yet. Oh, started off with Simeon, I'm off on a tangent. John chapter 1, the Bible says, in verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Jesus fulfilled the law, and he put an end to the law, not to get rid of it. It's not been destroyed, by the way. Thou shalt not kill is still in effect tonight. Thou shalt not steal is still in effect tonight. And I preached on this morning how that the Lord has took care of that. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, body, and spirit. And the second is like unto this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you love God with all your heart, soul, and body, I'll guarantee you, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're not going to cuss and swear and all that stuff either. Say amen right there. That's another sermon in itself. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. When we get to chapter 2, most folks will preach from chapter 2, verses 1 down through verse 24, or verse number 20, and they'll leave that chapter alone. Now, you remember James said Simeon's already said something about this changeover from grace or to grace from the law. In verse 25, it said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now first, write it down. Number one, his name is Simeon. I want to remind you of this before I get any further about this. There's several Simeons in the Bible. First Simeon most folks think of is the tribe of Simeon. One of the sons of Jacob. But he's not speaking of him here. This is not one of those. Then Simeon is mentioned in the book of Acts in another place, and it's not the one that James is speaking of. He's speaking of this one right here. And first of all, he says that he's got a name by the name of Simeon. The second thing about him, it says, and the same man was, number two, just. He's a just man. You deal with just men. He's honest and real, serious minded. He's just, he's right, righteous, godly. The third thing it says about him is he's and devout. He's serious minded. He's not playing games. He's not fooling around. He's telling the truth. He's staying with God. His heart is with God. Now, can I tell you that this 400 years, nobody's been on the scene? I said that a while ago. And all of a sudden, here's a man by the name of Simeon. Where's Simeon at? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Just think about where he's at. His name is Simeon. He's just. He's devout. And number four, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that blows a lot of people's minds. What does that mean? He is waiting for the consolation of it. You know what consolation is? Comfort. In this particular portion, he's waiting for the Messiah. He's waiting for the Lord. A lot of people said nobody in the Old Testament knows anything about the coming of the Lord. But they preached it all the way through. Wasn't the way we could understand it. Isaiah, I preached this a couple of Sundays ago, that Isaiah in chapter 53 told about Jesus coming and dying on the cross of Calvary. He said he would be born of a virgin. I went through the Old Testament some places. I left out a whole lot. But we know that they preached Christ coming. The Jews couldn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend it. And they didn't receive it. But this man was waiting for the consolation. Why was he waiting? Because he had the promise. We're going to talk about that. He was waiting for Jesus to come are the Messiah to come, are the Redeemer to come, are the one that's going to comfort them. Now, why was he waiting? Why was he looking for him? We'll tell you in a minute. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. How many does that make? Five? Four, five, six? Well, we'll see. His name is Simeon. He is just, number two. Devout, number three. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, four. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's five. He got five good characteristics about him now, isn't he? The Holy Spirit of God is going into detail about this man to tell you and to show you he has the authority to speak his mind and speak what God says. Now, number six, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. He had a revelation of God. Number six, right? Or five. How many? Six? All right, and he was revealed unto by the Holy Ghost. In other words, God had told him something. And here's what he told him. In the last part, that he should not see death before he had seen what? The Lord's Christ. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel. God had promised him, Simeon, you're not going to die till you see him. Hallelujah. That makes me want to shout. Simeon. And you know what? I believe old Simeon go to the mirror and look. If he had mirrors like we do. And he's saying, Lord, you made me a promise. But the wrinkles are getting heavy. The hairs are getting gray. The feet and the legs are getting flimsy. But I believe you. I trust you. And you're going to have to hurry. And I believe he's probably said, it's not going to be long. He's coming. He's coming. He's going to be here soon. Now probably most of y'all hadn't even seen this in there. If you have, you passed over it. He said he'd not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, can I remind you of something here? I know this is New Testament. I know that Christ has not died. The day of Pentecost has not taken place. The Holy Ghost has not come and got upon the saints of God. He's not indwelt by the Spirit of God. He has been touched when overpowered with the Spirit of God as they were in the Old Testament. Keep that in mind. If you don't get that, you're going to miss it. He's not indwelt with the Spirit. So that the Bible said, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. One thing about it, he was in the Spirit and in the temple. He is in the Spirit and in the right place. That ought to help you. Come to church, we ought to be in the Spirit and in the temple. Amen. And when the parents, notice this, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. His job was to circumcise the Lord Jesus. He is waiting on him. But look at verse 28. Hallelujah. I'd sure like to have been there. Old Simeon, I got so jealous when I read this. He got to do something that you didn't get to do and something I didn't get to do. Something you'll never get to do. Something that I'll never get to do. The Bible said, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here's an old man headed to the graveyard. Eyes are growing dim. His body getting feeble. He's old and he's got the Son of God in his arms. Amen. Ah! Wouldn't you like to have been there? Yeah. Amen. I ain't reading this wrong, Emma. Don't that thrill you? Praise God, that stirs my pitiful soul. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, amen, in verse number 27, he saw him. And in verse 28, he held him. And then he prayed. In verse 29, Simeon. Woo! A whole lot about Simeon here. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now, I've seen it all. This is the climax of my life, Lord. You can go ahead and take me now. You promised I'd see him, and I've seen him. You've kept your word. You hadn't failed me. You hadn't let me down. Here he is. Amen. Amen. Don't that kind of stir, amen, the innermost being? And then he says this in verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But now, you can leave it there if you want to, and you're still going to be left to hanging in the dark. Because James in chapter 15, and I'm going to have this in my little daily devotionals to some portion of it. And he's saying, mine eyes have seen the salvation. And James is saying, Simeon told you about this. Those Pharisees were fighting over the lack of being circumcised and keeping the law. And Peter's done spoke up against that. Barnabas and Saul have spoke up against that. Now James is speaking up, and he's going to turn that thing too down further in the 15th chapter of Acts. But now he said, I want to remind you of somebody you probably forgot about. I want to tell you about Simeon. He's already told you this is going to happen. I don't know, I may have to quit here. This is just getting too deep for me. Verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, here's what Simeon says. He said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. They hadn't been lightened up till then. He said, something's fixing to happen. The light's coming to the Gentiles. This man here, or this baby here that I'm holding in my arms, this baby here that we're going to circumcise, this baby here that I've seen and I've been waiting on him for a long, long time, this boy here is going to be the light to the Gentiles. And also, he's going to be in the glory of thy people Israel. He's going to lighten the Gentiles, and he's going to be the glory of Israel. There's two different things, and I don't have time tonight to preach that. I'll try to deal with that later. There's two things there. Light to lighten the Gentiles, they're in the dark right now. They're in the dark right here. In this scripture, they're in the dark. I'm not saying they're in the dark right now in this day of age, but they're in the dark here in chapter 2 of the book of the book of Luke. The Gentiles are in the dark. But he's right here in my arms. And he's bringing light to the Gentiles. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Amen. My little old camera would have went crazy. Click, 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 click. Holding the Son of God in that temple. I'd have been looking at them pictures forever. Well, I'm doing it now here in the Word of God. I can see it in my mind's eye. I may not have the right look of Simeon, but I picture him an old man about dead, half dead, more looking dead than alive. But he's got that baby in his arms. He said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Now look at verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon told them something that was marvelous. They could not even comprehend what Simeon was talking about, the son, their baby, their child. I mean, they couldn't comprehend it. They marveled at it. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. A Israel's going to fall. He's prophesying that Israel's going to fall, but it's going to rise again. He sees past the church. He sees before the church, during the church, and after the church with this little baby he's holding in his arms. Why in the world can't people understand that? And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Look at verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm going to quit right there. There's a lot of preaching, and I skipped a whole lot. But I believe you got enough to go home and chew on for a while. Maybe you wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning and go, and lay there and chew on it a little bit more. Maybe you'll get so excited about it, you'll get up and read it again. I've read you the Word of God. It's as clear as the nose on your face. It's plain and simple tonight. Simeon prophesied it before Christ ever died on the cross. That the Jewish nation was going down, grace is coming in. Somebody said they didn't see the church in the Old Testament. Some did, but not many. They didn't see it like you know it, but they knew something was happening. God made the promise. Now, let me see if I can find one more verse of scripture I want to... I said us through, and I am, but... if I can find this verse, if I can't, we'll go on home anyhow. And see this. He said, at the first... Well, let's read the scripture. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now notice this, a little phrase, to take out of them a people for his name. And that people for his name is Jew and Gentile alike. That's the church. Amen? This is deep stuff. God bless you. Heads bowed. I've been sitting over there debating whether I was going to preach this tonight or not. Because I do have it in my, will have some of it in my daily devotionals. But I believe tonight was what God wanted. And I believe this is what we need to hear. So you can stand when you get time and want to, or sit if you like. But they'll play, and if there's something tonight you'd like to come and talk to the Lord about, the altar's open. Would you come?